Today's daf, Yevamos, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Tzadik Zayin. We're up to the two dots, about one-fourth of the way down. And we got up to the quote from the Mishnah, we're almost at the end of the perek, Echad ben Teisha Shana. It doesn't matter if a child is 9 years old, or it doesn't matter if he's 20 years old. He would still be considered to be a katan if he's prepubescent. Braminu. Question is that doesn't seem to be consistent with the halacha, because as we know, we've had this numerous times, but the Mokar is the Mishnah, actually, in Nida, where it says that if someone is 20 years old, v'loi v'ishtei sarot, so he has no pubic hair, all they need to do, this is what we think it means, all they need to do is bring his driver's license in, or his birth certificate, meaning they need to prove that he really is 20 years old. And then we misunderstand these words. And then he is defined legally as a saris. But that means that he's a gadol, right? He's just a saris. So vis-a-vis yibum, there's no chalitz and there's no yibum. Same thing would be true about a female. If she's 20 years old, also hasn't reached puberty at the age of 20. So all they need to do is bring proof that she really is 20. And then, again, this is a misinterpretation, but we think this is what it means. And then she is automatically defined as an ilanit, and she has all of the dinim of a gedola. And the only thing is, of course, that she's not in the parsha of Yibum at all. Doesn't require chalitza, doesn't require Yibum, because of the fact that the Torah says the point of Yibum is reproduction for the memory of the brother, and she's incapable of reproduction. Fine. But it says over here that once he's 20 years old, Vuhu has Saris. Ah, says the Gemara, come on, you remember what we said about the Mishnah and Nida many times. Yomerim Shmuel by Yitzchak Amarav, the only time that knowing that he's 20 years old will give him the status of a gadol is if he had the Simonei Saris. So remember, we had all those Simonim that we talked about before, that besides the fact that he hasn't reached puberty in terms of pubic hairs, he also has all these other Simonim that we spoke about, in having feminine characteristics, and his voice is feminine, and all of the things, his semen is loose, his urine doesn't become very ammonia right away, his body doesn't raise steam, all of those like things that we had. So that's what it means. And the same thing is true about the female. It's only if Noldula Simone Islandis, which again, that she has a deep voice, and she doesn't have breasts, etc., right? Okay, and Rava says, well, of course, read the Mishnah carefully, and you'll see that that's true, Daikanani, because the Mishnah doesn't say who has saris. It says the who has saris, meaning that besides proving that he's 20 years old, you prove that he is a saris hormonally, so you need to bring evidence, not just the passive fact that we can't identify any pubic hair, but we need to know that there's signs over here that there are problems, in which case we can assume that he never had pubic hair. Otherwise, I mean, how would we know that? Anyway, Shmamina, that's 100%, that's a raya. Okay, so what are you telling me? That if he doesn't have positive signs of being a sorry, so he could be 90 years old, but he can't sign any contracts because he's still a kid? That's pretty cute. I mean, up until what point is he considered to be a kata? So, v'chilo noldulo simanei saris ad kama, toni devei Rabbi Chiya ad rov shnotav. So, since we're talking about yimei shnoteinu v'hem shivim shana, so then once he's over 35, so then we're talking about the simach locus with Rishonim, whether it means 36 or just the day over 35. But once he reaches 35, I mean, he's in his 36th year, then even though he doesn't have positive signs of saris, but the fact that he doesn't have pubic hairs is sufficient here that we call him a saris, but he's a girl. Anyway, in these cases, now you need to understand something, because we're not really sure whether someone is a saris or whether we just haven't been able to discover signs of puberty. So when they would bring in front of Rava, somebody was 20 years old and never seemed to have reached puberty. So he would say, look, there are reasons why puberty is delayed. I mean, people could be malnourished and completely wrecking their endocrinal system, and therefore their hormones are off, but that doesn't mean he's a sarist. So he would tell, if he would see that the child, I mean, he's not a child, he's 20 years old, but he would tell them, okay, let's fatten him up a bit and make sure that he's properly nourished. And then you may discover that all of a sudden there will be an onset of puberty because he gets back his testosterone and now he'll become normal. So eat kosher. If he was very thin, they would say, get him some nourishment and let him put on some weight. And sometimes when you have really extreme obesity, it also affects hormones. And you often see this, that very obese people don't seem to have reached puberty. And so he would say, make sure that they lose some weight. Let's see what happens when he gets down to a normal weight. Now we can see whether he actually reaches puberty. Because hani simanim pubic hairs zimnin denatre machmas kechishuta v'zimnin denatre machmat briuta. It's very possible that what you're looking at is simply a delayed puberty because of the fact that he's too thin, meaning that he's malnourished, or that he is obese. And therefore, before we get to all of these other inyanim, looking for the signs of serous and so on and so forth, make sure that you haven't overlooked something very simple, which would have to do with normal hormonal function that requires normal nourishment. And this gives us a grand opportunity to allow our recent Baal Tshuva, who now is excited about no longer asking for double salary and overtime and so on and so forth, he feels actually that great opportunities are presented to him. And I hereby introduce our new Richie, Sir Richard Hadronalach, Ha'isha Rabba. Nos'im al ha'anusa. Listen, I got to tell you guys, the honest truth is I owe Richie. I mean, I got that bottle of Talisker, Dark Storm, only because of the fact that they found out that Richie was called the Talisker Rebbe. And these people that came to visit me, they are from like 40 years ago here. And of course, they were, Richie is still around? Oh, absolutely. He's alive. You mean the Richie? Richie's Pizza? Absolutely.
Fading out.
Yeah, no. Going strong and getting stronger. Bezras Hashem, I may have asked him, happy, exciting, and dafyomi full days. Nos'im al ha'anusa. So now the Mishnah comes now to discuss some of the basic dinim. And of course, this is usually, as we've seen, the construction of Rebbe of the Masechet, that some of the yesodas that are taken for granted at the beginning, we only get to the bottom line of these interrelationships at the end or towards the end of the Masechet. So let's just make it very clear. All of the relationships that are usur when you have a wife, you're not allowed to marry. We've been talking about, obviously, throughout this parak, the dinim of a mother-in-law or a wife's child or a wife's sister. I mean, that we were taking for granted, that it's all a din in a wife. But if it's not a wife, then there was the last case that we had that he accidentally took this other woman who was his wife's sister, but he thought that his wife had died. That if it isn't really a wife, and it doesn't look like a wife, so that the Rabbanan didn't get involved in creating, you know, the Rabbanan Yisurim, if it wasn't a wife, then there's no problem. So if you've been shacking up with a girl, that doesn't mean you have to worry about her mother. You could go sleep with her mother. You could sleep with her daughter. You could sleep with her sister. It makes no difference because you're not married to her. And we've been taking that for granted. And now the Mishnah finally spells it out, which allows us to go through the Gemara and figure out where we learned this from the Torah. So, nos'im al ha'anusa. If you were raping somebody, remember, anusa is a nasty way of talking about casual sex, but the Gemara, the Mishnah consistently uses this word because it's used casual sex as nasty. So we talk about the idea of an anusa. We don't really want to talk about that, or a mefuta, which means you seduced her. Obviously, I mean, it could be just a normal casual relationship where both partners are perfectly happy, but we don't like to, you know, talk about that. So in the event that you had a relationship out of marriage with a woman, you can then go and marry any of her krovim. So you can go and marry her sister. There'd be no problem. Her mother, her daughter. But in the other direction, if you are married to a woman and then you take by rape or by seduction or whatever, on her, you take her sister or her mother, then of course you're chayiv, because that's exactly what the Torah is talking about. Now, you are allowed to marry also a woman who was raped or seduced by your father. Now, we know, of course, that this is machlokas. We're going to get back to the question of knaf aviv in a moment. And not only that, you can marry a woman who was raped or seduced by your son, because that's not considered to be your daughter-in-law. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, as we've known all the way back from the beginning of the Masechet, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, anusat aviv, mifutat aviv, is actually also, remember, this was very important to us all the way back at the beginning when we were talking about what cases we're going to list in the Chamesh Esrei Noshim. So we sort of avoided getting into that problem because it was machlokas. We finally, 100 off later almost, we finally get to the whole mocker of Rabbi Yehuda in detail. So basically what the Mishnah is saying is what we learned in a Braita, but it's spelled it out in the Braita. Anas isha, somebody rapes a woman, mutar li sabitai. He can go right ahead and marry her daughter. And if he married a woman, however, then he cannot marry her daughter. Vraminu. But doesn't it say in a Braita that if there are rumors about that a guy has been sleeping with this woman, he's not allowed to marry her mother, he's not allowed to marry her daughter, he's not allowed to marry her sister, despite the fact that we know that they're not married, and it seems over here that even if we have a chashad that he's been sleeping with her, that he becomes usher to her relatives. This is the exact opposite of our Mishnah. What's going on? Says the Gemara, yes, that's true. Midrabanan, because of the fact that he apparently, according to the rumors, has a very intimate relationship with this woman, if he would go ahead and marry the daughter, or the mother, now that is going to give him a lot of opportunities to continue having this illicit relationship with her. But up until now, it was just plain old sex. Now it's an arias, because now he married whatever, the daughter, the mother-in-law. So now that same woman, there's no reason for us to assume that all of a sudden he doesn't like sleeping with her. So, you know, who knows if this isn't a way to just be able to cover up his relationship with her. He'll go marry the mother, and that way he'll be, you know, like Lolita kind of thing, you know. So he'll have an opportunity to sleep with the daughter. Therefore, the Rabbanan answered it. What? But the Mishnah says that you are allowed to marry. Read the Mishnah. Nosim ala nusa. Does it make sense to you that where there's an Issur Drabanan, we would have said the word nosim, which means l'chatfila? You show me another example of that, where something is Usur Midrabanan, and we'll present the case as, yes, you can go ahead and marry. No, come on. Nosim. We don't find that. So it's clear that we mean even l'chatfila. Yes, there is a case where it is, even l'chatchila. You know when that is? When the supposed lover is dead. So then we don't have any chashat that he's going to continue sleeping with her. I mean, there's a limit. And therefore, if she's dead, we don't have any problem of ushering the woman in Rabbanan. This is not a knas, remember. Not because he was intimate with her, that therefore he can't marry. It's because we're really worried that it's a Lolita situation. But over here, if Lolita is dead, what's the point of answering her mother? That's the meaning. Okay, so meanwhile, it's basically showing us, yes, during her life, there's an Issur Drabanan, but the Mishnah is just saying, theoretically and actually, in a case where she's dead, you'd be allowed to go ahead and marry. Now, how do we know all of this? In other words, why do we take for granted that the din of all of the relatives only is applicable in the event that you were actually legally married to the woman whose mother or daughter or sister you now sleep with. Where does that come from? You know what I mean? Well, the Tana Rabbanan, if you take a look at the various psukim that talk about the different arayas, it always uses the word shechiva, right? Sleeping, it talks about, like in a nice way, sleeping with them. So we find this again and again in the Isser of Arayas. But wherever the Torah is talking about taking a korov of an isha, so there it says always the lashon of lekicha. So it uses the lashon of kicha. Ishav v'ima, ishav achuta. So lo tikach. Why all of a sudden is it kicha instead of shchiva? So obviously we're not just talking about sex. We're talking about kicha. Kicha is a kinyan. And therefore it must mean that the iser applies only in cases where there actually was a kicha. Lomar lecha derech likuchin asra Torah. The Torah is only going to answer these things if you actually took a woman through likuchin and are married to her. That's the point. So the iser, therefore, would be only in that direction. Well, let me ask you something. I mean, we find by the case of taking a sister, it says over there, Isha sher yikach et achoto bat avivu bat imo. I mean, that sure doesn't fit in over here. Are you going to tell me that you're only usher to sleep with a sister if you take her in actual lekuchi? So, but if you just want to hang out with her, derech shkiva, that you're allowed to? Are you being mater sex with a sister? I mean, it can't be. There is no kicha. I mean, there's an iser karis. There can't be kicha. So how do you explain the case that according to your logic, the Torah should never have used that word? So Abaya says, look, when the Torah uses the word likuchin, without explaining whether we're talking about marriage or we're talking about just sex, okay, you have to look contextually what we're talking about. So if it were possible to have likuchin, so then the Torah is talking about likuchin. But if it's impossible to have likuchin, then it's a nice way of talking about shchiva. And therefore, it's coming along and using the word, but where you can't have lekicha, then obviously it's got to mean shchiva. Rava says that's not the marker, because you see, it's not consistent. I say that in the case of rape, that you're allowed to take her daughter is a pasuk. What's the pasuk? That the Torah said, ervat bat bincha o bat bitcha lo tigale. Okay, now what does that mean? You cannot marry your, or cannot be megala de erva, of your son's daughter or your bat bitcha, your daughter's daughter. Now, what does that imply? It implies that if it's not your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, it's your wife's daughter's daughter or your wife's son's daughter, that it would be okay, because the pasuk is specifying your own genetically related granddaughter through your daughter or through your son. Mashmah bat bena dida ubat bita dida. If it's hers, it's your wife's granddaughter or your wife's son's daughter, that it's mutter. But that's ridiculous. It isn't mutter, because there's another pasuk that says ervat isha ubita lo tikale et bat bena ubat bita lo tikach. Now, on the other hand, it says that you are not allowed to take a woman and her granddaughter, not through her daughter and not through her son. Now, how do you explain that? So I'll tell you how to explain it. Obviously, one pasuk is talking about where you raped. That is to say, it was a casual relationship and you had a granddaughter. Well, the only thing that's important is that she is your granddaughter. If that woman has a granddaughter through some other relationship that she had, you have no concern with that, because it's not related to you, and therefore it's not an erva to you. But that's because you were never married to her. But how about if you had been married to her? Then her granddaughter does make a difference. And then you are not allowed to sleep with that granddaughter, despite the fact that she's not related to you. Well, I mean, you're making an assumption. You're making the assumption that if you were married, there's more reason to ask her the granddaughter through your wife. Maybe it should be the other way around, right? Why don't we say that where you were really had married a woman, so then you only have to worry about your own. But where you had raped a woman, so then it would be the opposite, because maybe the Torah is much more makpid, where people are going around having casual relationships. And so it said, okay, you want to screw around? Then you're going to be usher on more women than you would have been before. Fine. But on the other hand, if you do things right and you get married and so on, you don't have to worry about the relatives that your wife has. I mean, but why are you jumping to conclusions? You don't know the sfora behind all of these arayas, do you? So, epochana, maybe it's the other way around. No, it can't be, you see, because the whole idea of arayas is built on the idea of ish el kol she'er b'saro, lo tikrivu legalot erva. That means that the Torah introduces the concept of erva in terms of shared genetics and tells you straight out that I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, am more makbid about the problem of shared genetics than shared relationships. That's the point. So given that opening, the Torah has told us it's concerned. And because of that, I can't reverse it, because only if you get married do we say that it's considered to be a she'er, where you have a sense of being related. So there's she'er, but by onasim, leka she'er, you don't have any shared relationship, so to speak, because you're not married together. So therefore, we couldn't even talk about having a sense of relatedness, what we call kinship in English. That's what a she'er would be, right? Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the last thing we had is that Rabbi Yehuda asers anusat aviv. Omer of Gidol Amarav, where does he get that from? Well, as we've seen before, tichtiv, lo yikach ish et eshet aviv, velo yigaleh knaf aviv. Now, what in the world is a knaf aviv? What, the corner of his what? Of his bathrobe? I mean, what exactly is that referring to? So Rabbi Yehuda says what it means is that knaf shira'a aviv, that's exactly what it does mean. It means that the bathrobe of this girl that his father took off, lo yigaleh, the son should not be doing the same thing. That means that he's usher, so he's not allowed to engage in the bathrobe, so to speak, of the bathrobe that his father was engaged with. So it's talking about a casual relationship. How do I know specifically that it's casual? Mimai davanu sakti? Because look at the pasuk. The pasuk that we have before was what? Miluya dekra. It says there, according to the Bach, it says there, dechtiv, v'natana isha shochevi ma la'aviya nara chamishim kasef. And then it goes on to talk about, after telling you the dinim of rape, that is a 50 shekel fine, which is obviously a din of rape, at the beferish, and then it says right away, don't take knaf aviv. So that indicates that the knaf aviv is meant to be understood within this context, that it is a rape. Exactly. Oh, that's, you know, a very good point. I mean, this was why we were saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the smichut is very important, dafka and dvorim, even though he doesn't know that it's important anywhere else. So, I mean, how did the Rabbanan disagree with that? Doesn't it say that? Say the Rabbanan, okay, you know, very nice for you to present it the way you want to. Yes, if it really would have been samuch, you would be right. But let's actually be honest. It isn't samuch, is it? Because before we get to the thing of lo yigaleh knaf aviv, it says beferish lo yikach eshet aviv. Okay, so it's no longer samuch. Now, I have therefore a reason to say that the knaf aviv is coming to tell me another halacha, which we also had before, Rav Anan. Rav Anan quotes Shmuel as saying that the knaf aviv means that if a woman falls to your father through the death of your uncle, and therefore she is the shomeret yavam of your father, that is exactly the same, and it's a lav, shouldn't say exactly, because it doesn't have chorus necessarily, but I mean, it has cars because anyway, it's your uncle's wife before he died, and that remains usher even after he died. But it's coming to tell me another isser, namely that this is the robe, so to speak, that is ru'uya for your father because he's mechuyev to be miyabing her. So there, you're not allowed to uncover, so to speak, that same rope. I understand, but why do we need that? I mean, isn't she your auntie? She was married to your uncle, your father's brother, and your father's brother died. That's the only way that she could be the Yavama of your father, for God's sake. So what do we need an Isser for? If it says so, you're right. But it's lav or alev, but shnei lavim. You would be chayiv twice. You'd get malchus twice if you would be over. One for the Isser of Dodato, and one for the Isser of Knaf Aviv. But, I mean, you already are chayiv twice. She's a Yavama, and a Yavama is not allowed to marry anybody, right? And that's chal al kol olam kula. So now, if that's the case, each one of these is an Isser Moisif on, or Koel on the others. So because of that, she would be Osir anyway because of Yavama Lashuk. So you already have two Isser. Okay, fine. So now you have three Isser. So you'll get three Malkias. But the point is that the Knaf Aviv is a reference to Yibam. Okay, I understand that that doesn't really sit well with you. Because, I mean, if we have an alternative, we're not going to just add lavim. I mean, that's crazy. So if we have a real alternative, I'll give you a real alternative. Okay, Yibayis Ema. The case could be talking about that in the event that it's Li'acha Misa, suppose your father then goes ahead and dies. So obviously there's no longer an Isser of Yavama Lashuk, but she remains a surah to you because of the fact that she was the Yavama of your father, even though he never took her. Now, that's a brand new way of looking at things. And therefore, that new Isser is chal after, once it's chal, it remains after the father's death. Now, Richie, in order to introduce the next sugya, we need a song. You know, the one about Pappy and all of that? Yeah, you're muted.
My own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. I don't remember the rest of the verses.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Okay, what's going on with you? Getting old or something?
I'm getting forgetful in my old age. What can I tell you?
But anyway, this is one of your favorite sugyas, Appalachia. So the Gemara now engages, and because of one of the cases in the Mishnah, which is, of course, the case of Anusat Aviv, which is a very useful case if we want to have Pappy also being grandpappy and also being his brother and all, you know. So all of those cases in Appalachia, which the Gemara goes out of its way to say, obviously could only happen in Appalachia, would never happen with any real people. So it always talks about an Akum who does these things, even though we wish it were that way. But anyway, so it's going to give us a bunch of riddles. Now we got to figure out who this is referring to. It's a very funny Gemara. Richie, come on. This is your favorite sugya, man. Why are you disappearing on us?
I'm listening.
I know, but we want you to be giving us the answer to the $64,000 question. I mean, it doesn't go very far anymore. So maybe now it's $64 million, but whatever. So here are the riddles. So here's riddle number one. Okay. Ach me av velo me ein. Now, this is my brother from a shared father, but not from a shared mother. And this brother is also my mother's husband. And I am his wife's daughter. Okay, so now go figure out that one. What? Omar Rami Bar Choma. That is going Shaloka Rebbe Yehuda. If we don't hold of Rebbe Yehuda, so that would mean Aliba to Rebbe Yehuda. Obviously, the only solution that we have to the riddle, utilizing the Rashi approach. Oh, that's my grandpappy, Mo Willie just posted the song. So the idea over here is, let's use the, even though I must say I wouldn't have done it, but Rashi does it all the time. And the Gemara does it also in certain cases we had before, where we use the well-known names of the relationships of marriages in the Torah. So we'll talk about Yaakov Avinu Chas V'Shalom, but we're talking about a guy named Jake, you know, who's got a son named Reuben. And okay, so that we'll take that case over here too. All right, so Jake goes ahead and he rapes a woman. And now he's got this daughter, right? Now, from this rape. Now, besides that, he has a son from before. So he has this son, Reuven. Now this Reuven goes ahead and marries this daughter. That was the, he marries this woman that was, according to Rebbe Yehuda, usher to him, but not according to Rebbe Yehuda, it's mutter to him. So fine. So we could talk about this as if it's a valid case. He goes and marries the woman that his father raped. So now the daughter that the father had given birth to with this woman says to Reuven that this is my brother because we share the same father, right? Your father actually was my father. And that means that you are my brother as well. And yet you married my mother because my mother was the rape victim of the father. So there's no problem in this case. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we can't say this case on the case of a Jew because we wouldn't say that the guy had gone ahead and married the woman that his father raped. But if you don't know the Rabbi Yehuda, then this is a perfectly normal case. If you have a very broad-minded sense of what normal is, but this is a very normal case. Okay. Rami, it says now another riddle. Okay, this riddle is like, see this little kid on my shoulder that I'm carrying around in my baby backpack? He's my brother, and he ain't heavy either, because he's my brother, and what's more, he is my son. Not only that, I am the sister of this little baby on my backpack. Okay, how do we get that? Well, this we only get in Appalachia. Of course, no Jew would have done that. So we're talking about an Ove Kochavim who very simply fathered a child, a boy, with his own daughter. Fine. So then that child is her son and her brother from her brother from the same father. That's a simple case. Now, here's another riddle. A woman says to this child, well, welcome to you, my dear son. I am your sister's daughter. Okay, that's a nice greeting. So how's that possible? Well, again, you have an Ovi Kochavim, and he had a son with his granddaughter. So that means that this is the child's mother, but is also the sister from the same father. She's the daughter of a sister from the same father, because this is the case of a granddaughter. Fine, also a simple case. Now, here's a good riddle for people who are wasting their day pumping gas. What do we say to people who have a job that doesn't allow them to learn? Well, we give them a bunch of riddles. Of those days, they didn't pump gas. They pumped water into fields that they needed to water. So we would introduce those riddles like this. Hey, you poor guy sitting there pumping water all day long. Let me give you a hidden riddle, a Seter Peter. So you have to give me the Pitaron of the Seter Peter. Now, these are the same as Moshe Forman's cards, right? So we provide them these little cards that can actually do something with their time. So here's the card. Okay. See the kid on my back? Okay. That kid on my back, Haida Darina, is my son. And I am the daughter of his brother. Okay, Richie, give it to us, man. How do we get a case like that? Well, Mashkach Haslaba Oved Kochavim Haba Abat Beno. Again, it's sort of simple. This guy, who was, of course, in Appalachia, so this is Pappy, and Pappy goes ahead and sleeps with his son's daughter and has a son. And now this son is being greeted by the mother, who is also a brother's daughter, the brother from the same father's daughter, because this was grandpa. Another nice, Richie riddle. Oi, ay, ay, baya, baya, oi, Vedu, I have tsaris. It's all because of my brother, who is my father, who is my husband, who is my husband's son. Come on, you're going to love this one, Richie. And he's my husband's son, and he's my mother's husband, and I am his wife's daughter. And this no goodnik, despite the fact that he's related in so many ways, actually refuses to give a little piece of bread to his poor orphans, who are his brothers, and are his own daughter's children. Can you imagine a momser like that who won't even give a piece of bread? Okay, what is this talking about? Well, what this is talking about is really very Appalachian. Okay, so what happens over here? So we start with Pappy. Now, Pappy goes ahead and sleeps with his mammy. So now we've got his Baal Imo. He has a daughter with his mommy, which means that he is her father and her brother, right? Together, because they come from the same mother. So he's both her father and her maternal mother. Now, he waits for that girl to get old enough for him to marry, for him to take the daughter. So now he goes ahead. He sleeps with that daughter. So that's why she's saying, the daughter's saying, he's my husband. Doesn't mean husband, legal husband, but he's been sleeping with me. Then Pappy's Pappy, grandpa, he goes ahead and Chazar Hazaken, so the grandpa of this Pappy who had slept with Mammy, he goes ahead and he has relations with this same daughter. Vaholid mi mena banim, but he sticks with her a long time and he's got a whole family with her. So then that means that Pappy, not talking about grandpappy over here, but Pappy is her father, meaning he's her mother's so-called husband. And he's also, as we saw, he's her brother because they have the same mother since he slept with his own mother. So obviously it's a maternal brother. And he's her husband in the sense that they've been having this intimate relationship. And he's also the son of my second husband, meaning grandpappy, because Pappy over here was the son of grandpappy and both of them have had this relationship. And he's also the brother from the same father of the children that came from grandpappy. Well, of course, grandpappy is his father and grandpappy is the father of all of these kids. And then when grandpappy dropped dead, finally, all of these orphans are not being taken care of by Pappy. What a Russia. So these were his daughter's children, his sister's children, and he's not even giving them anything to eat. Okay, another one.
Oh, is me, shame and scandal on the family.
Ah, there we go. Now, what's amazing is that the song, Woe Is Me, is based on the Gemara, Baya Baya, because Baya means woe on me. So Baya Baya, woe on me. Amazing. Okay. Then we've got another one. Okay, here's another one. You and me are sisters. We're siblings, okay? And you and your father are also siblings. And you and your mother are also siblings. So how could everybody be siblings? Well, in Appalachia, it's no big deal. Mashkachat labovet kochavim. We've got this guy, sleeps with his mother and has two daughters by his mother. Then he goes and he takes one of those daughters and now he has a son from that daughter, which means that the other daughter is this son's sister from the same father and is the mother's full sister for both mother and father. And that means that the father, meaning the father of this child, she is also his sister from the same mother. And therefore, what he's saying is absolutely true. We're siblings in different ways. So then, karyalai achate di ima v'karmalei achi. So this is referring to this child's, the sister of this child's mother who introduces herself this way. You and I are siblings. Yes, we are. And your father and me are siblings. Yes, we are. And me and your mother are siblings. All true. Now, how about this one? Ant va'at b'nei achi. So you and me are the children of brothers or sisters, siblings. Ana va'avuch b'nei achi. But your father and me are also the children of siblings. And not only that, your mother and me are the children of siblings. Well, that's not a tough case. We don't even need Appalachia for that, says the Gemara. We could have that even without violating any Yisurim, right? Habehet teranami mashkach. So let's imagine a case where we've got our standard family, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, okay? Reuven has two daughters. So now these two daughters marry the relatives, Behander. So Shimon, Reuven's brother, marries one of these daughters. And then Levi had a son, and he married the other one of the daughters. And now Shimon's son can say to Levi's grandson, because it started with Levi's son, that you and me are sons of two sisters. That's true, because Reuven's two daughters actually were the mothers, respectively, of Shimon's son and of Levi's grandson. Now, your father, who was Levi's son, and me are the sons of brothers. True, also true, Shimon and Levi. And not only that, your mother, who is Reuven's daughter, and me are the children of two brothers, correct, of Reuven and Shimon. And it's all beheter in this case. So that works out just fine. Which brings us to Richie, who's finally lying in a stupor on the ground, and he's now ready to introduce the next Mishnah. Now, what we're about to engage in here is discuss the relatives, that is to say, what is the din of kirva in the cases of gerut? So we know that there's a couple of principles that we've met before. And that is a ger shenit gayer kikatan shenolad. So katan shenolad means that all of the relationships that were genetic relationships are basically canceled lahalacha the moment that he is misgayer. But there are sort of cases where we're in between. So let's say that the mother becomes a giyoret while she's pregnant, which means that the child was conceived by her as a goy. And then at the time of his birth, there is now a kedusha because she became a giyoret before he was born. In that case, we don't say that he is a tinuk shenolad because he is still related to his mother because of the fact that they were misgayers, so to speak, and he was born to a Jewish mother. But he does not have a relationship to his father. So that we'll see. So let's say in a case that you are twins, and even there you were born b'kedusha, but you were conceived shelo b'kedusha. So you are brothers because you share a mother, but you are only maternal brothers. And therefore, when it would come to yibum, you would not be allowed to be miyabim. If the two of you had been misgayer as having been born as goyim, not only would there be no chiyuv of yibum, you could exchange wives after you go ahead and are misgayer because you're not related at all. So if one brother wants to take the other brother's wife, there should be no problem. Why not? We're not brothers. We're not really related, not from the mother and not from the father. So besides the issue of yibum, which is defined by paternity, over here, even the other Isser Kores of an Eishes Ach, even maternal Eishes Ach, even though there's no Yibam, would not apply either. So you can actually have twins that Lechora would not be related from the same father, even though we're saying for sure they're related, but doesn't matter. Now, what about if the parents had been Mizgayer before? Then they're normal Jews, obviously. Then you have Horatov, Veledatov, Bekedushah, and all of the dinim would apply, including the dinim of Yibam. So now it says the Mishnah. So over here, we're talking about a case where the children were born as Goyim. The mother brings her children along, and they're all Mizgayer together. And then one of the Bonim ultimately was married and died without leaving any children. The other brother does not do anything, no chotzin, velo miyabmin, because they're not related at all, not from the same mother and not for the same father, because over here the giur took place afterwards. And basically, the fact that the mother was mitgayeret is really not nogea, because who cares? If the mother would have remained a goya, it would have been exactly the same. So we're only pointing out, we're just keeping this case parallel later, because there we start talking about if the mother had been mitgayer while she was pregnant. So we started talking about the mother's giyur over here, but it really doesn't matter. Even if the mother was never mitgayeret, we'd have all of these same halachas. Okay, so there would be lo chotzin, the lo miyabmin. What's more, Suppose one of the brothers was conceived while she was still a Goya, and Horatash HaRishon Shelo B'Kedusha, but by the time she gave birth, she was Jewish. And Leidato B'Kedusha. Whereas the second brother, he was actually even conceived B'Kedusha. So after the firstborn, the first child was born, there was another child that was conceived already as a Jew. So in this case, it would still be true that even over there, where one of them was Shelo B'Kedusha and one was B'Kedusha, so the second son was Horato V'Leidato B'Kedusha, even so, there's no Chiyuv of Yibum. Now, this is a little bit weird because it shouldn't be even so. It's especially so because in this case, they do share a mother, even though they don't share a father. Because since the Horato Shelo B'Kedusha, there is no father to that other brother. But he's a brother from the same mother because his Leida was B'Kedusha. And therefore, if he would go ahead and do Yibum, it would be an Isser Karis. Because there's no din of Yibum where there's no paternal brother, but there is an Isser Karis where there's only a maternal brother. So therefore, the Mishnah is very curious. What do you mean, Afilu? For sure. Over here, it's Usser to do Yibum. In the first case, it might not be Usser to do Yibum. It might just mean that there's no Chiyav to do Yibum. So again, the Gemara is going to examine what the language means over here of saying that even this case. The same thing, of course, would be true of a Shivcha, where the children over there, for sure, we know that there's no din of fatherhood by a Shivcha at all, because as we said, Zirmatzim, for sure, there's no Chiyas by an Eved, even worse. So over here, he for sure does not have any relationship to children that were born before. Now, we have a case where it depends how we understand our Mishnah for us to understand the Psak. So there was a guy, there were two sons of this woman whose name was Yuda. And she was an Amza. So she was an Amma Kananit, and they were freed. So they became Jewish. So Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says they could exchange their wives. Why not? They're not related in any way. So it's just taking any other woman. The fact that, I don't know, she was sleeping with someone that had the body shape and genes of this guy doesn't make that it relates to him in any way. And therefore, you can go ahead and marry her. So Rava said to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, well, Rav Sheshit had a case like this, and he says it's usher. So Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says, that's nice. He says it's usher, and I say it's mutter. You got anything else to say? Put on your gloves, baby. Okay, so you're not impressing me. I disagree. All right, so that means that we have a machlokas Rav Acha Bar Yaakov and Rav Sheshit about whether, if you have two brothers who are gerim, can they exchange their wives? Okay, what would be the machlokas, essentially? So in the case where they're brothers and they're only brothers from the same father, they're not from the same mother. So then for sure, they're not related at all. Kuli amalo plige deshari. In a case like that, there is no relationship because since he's considered to be a katan shen neilad, there is no problem whatsoever in this case because we don't view them as being related in any way. How about if they're the aim? They have the same mother, but not the same father. So in that case, everybody agrees that they are, in fact, usher. Even though midiraisa, there's no reason why it would be usher. Why would it be usher? They're still kikatan shenolad. But see, the problem is that many people don't realize the salach of kikatan shenolad. And they think that the reason that we ignore fathers in cases of Geirut, they don't understand. Because it's a sort of weird concept that people are known to have a genetic relationship, and yet the Torah says they're completely unrelated. So many people have no idea what that could mean because they don't They don't have the training to understand how halakha defines things. They're just used to defining things according to their notions. So if somebody is fathered by the same guy, they're related, aren't they? So the way that they think about it, in their own minds, they interpret it as that since basically we can assume that any ger comes from Appalachia, so why would we think we know who his father is? They're all sleeping around, so there's no reason for us to pretend that they're brothers. I mean, they may like to pretend they're brothers, but if they didn't have the same mother, what makes them brothers? So they're completely unrelated. Masha Einkein, if they share the same mother, then even though midiraisa, that doesn't matter because you're still a katan shenoilad. But I mean, what does that mean, man? I mean, they come from the same mother. There can't be any question that they have that genetical connection. So why aren't they brothers? So they're abundant because of that asserted, right? Okay, so that is for sure. In the event that they came from the same mother, midirabbanan, the rabbanan asserted, because people might get confused about real brothers from maternal brothers, and they might think, gosh, I guess maternal brothers are not usher on each other's wives, which is totally wrong. There's a fee of karis in that case, right? Okay, so we made it usher min rabbanan. So everybody agrees to that. Ki plige min ha'av umin ha'em. The question over here is where they have the same father and the same mother. That's weird. Why is that a machlokes? If the same mother is not, why is adding the same father make it better? Very simply, the question is, how do people refer to other people? So when they give him a name, they always give him the name from his father's family. So therefore, if you are calling him the son of Mr. So-and-so, so then Mandashori, that means Rav Acha bar Yaakov, would say, no, that's okay, because people call him Jacobson, right? And they wink when they say that. This is Mr. Jacobson's son. Yeah, like Kelly's Mr. Jacobson. So, but all right, fine. We call him Mr. Jacobson's son. So because of that, they don't even know who the mother is, because they lose track of the mother. So they're only thinking about daddy, and they don't believe that it's daddy. So therefore, the Rabbanan didn't answer it. Masha Einkein, Rav Sheshes holds, listen, it's all very nice. They call him Mr. Jacobson, not his son, but they also call him Mrs. Jacobson's son, for heaven's sake. It's not that they lose track of the mother, in which case they will think that there is definitely a maternal brother relationship, right? So if they're maternal siblings, why are they trading wives? Must be it's mutter to trade wives. The rabbi said they could trade the wives. So because of that, we answered even that case, according to Rav Sheshes. Ikari Amrin. And there's another way of understanding the machlokas of Rav Acha bar Yaakov and Rav Sheshes, that even if they don't have a relationship both from mother and father, and they only have a relationship from a mother, there's still a machlokas between Rav Acha bar Yaakov and Rav Sheshes. Why? Because the question is, do people really understand that a ger shenitgayer kekatan shenolad dami? So Rav Acha bar Yaakov, according to this approach to the machlokas, holds that people are not going to be coming to any kind of mistake in cases of marriages where somebody came as a ger. Everybody knows. And that's the truth today. Everybody knows you're not really related. So they're not going to come to make a mistake and think that brothers from the same mother are allowed to exchange wives. They'll understand that this is a unique case because of Geirut. And because of that, Rav Acha bar Yaakov argues even in that case. Okay. So now the question is, how is Rav Acha bar Yaakov going to learn the Mishnah? Because the Mishnah, it says, that if you have a Gioret that was mitgayeret together with her sons, so she's got, that means that her sons were born as goyim. Now they become Jewish. It says in the Mishnah, lo chotzin velo miyabim, even though they have the same father. Why is that? Well, it must be that the Mishnah is saying they're not allowed to take Yibum. That's the point. And that we're worried about the fact that people will say, wow, they are actually related to each other, and yet they're allowed to marry each other's wives. That's why we don't allow them to do Yibum. So that must be what it means, right? That it's usher. Doesn't mean they could do Yibum. And they don't need to. It means they're not allowed to do Yibam. And that's not like Rav Acha bar Yaakov, because Rav Acha bar Yaakov says everybody knows that they're kekatan shenayil adami, and therefore, what's the problem if they do yibum? The Mishnah would only be able to tell us you don't need to do yibum. No, says the Gemara, that's exactly what the Mishnah does mean. When it says lo chotzim v'lo miyabim, it means they don't need to. They're not included in that mitzvah. In a bit, Torah chalitza v'yibum. They're not part of the whole idea of chalitza v'yibum. So when it says lo chotzim v'lo miyabim, it means that the woman can go out and marry whoever she wants. That's all it means. That Sharyala Alma, she can go and marry whoever they want. And obviously, if they want to marry each other, go right ahead. Just don't call it yibum, but you can marry whoever you want. Wait a minute, but then how do you understand the word afilu? That second case in the Mishnah, which says, even if the brothers were noilad b'kiddusha, right? So one was harasa b'kiddusha, and one was only leidasa b'kiddusha. So we said in that case, even in that case, that it also would be true that you do not do yibam or chalitza. What do you mean, even in that case? You see, if you hold that they're actually usher to do yibum, the way we were asking on Rabbi Achaba Yaakov, there's an excuse for saying afilu. Why? Because even though, what's the chiddush over here? That even though the Rishon is horata shlo b'kedusha, and leidato b'kedusha, v'asheni v'horato v'leidato b'kedusha, and therefore people will say, okay, I understand this case, because it's as if they have different mothers, you see? So it's like shtei imahot damu, because one of them had a Jewish conception mother and one had a non-Jewish conception mother. So therefore, I would say that in this case, there would be no problem. It's still us, because people still feel you have the same mother. But if you're going to say, like Rav Achaba Yaakov claims, that on the contrary, the Mishnah never said you cannot do, it just said you don't need to do. So what's to understand? What's saying even? I mean, even if we're saying that as in terms of her being muteret to get married, what difference does it make whether the brothers share a kedusha, don't share a kedusha? It's irrelevant, right? The whole thing doesn't make sense. Why would it say that word afilu when all it's saying is that you don't need to do yibum? No, of course, there's another way of looking at it. Because listen, if both brothers were born as Jews, so one of them was conceived as a goya and one wasn't, okay? So the idea over here is that people would say, even, why even? That even though Afagata violated the Mikdusha, they were both born as Jews, and therefore people will say, ah, these are real brothers, 100% kosher brothers. Even so, they will know that there's a difference between that case and a real Jew that was born b'kedusha. So therefore, even though that's true, she's allowed to go and marry whoever she wants without getting chalitza, because everyone knows that the first brother was born a couple of months after the mother had converted. And therefore, they understand that she was conceived while the mother was a goya. Fine. So that's one way of looking at this. Another way of looking at it is that ikni amri, that it actually was a riot to Rav Achaba Yaakov. Because remember, as we pointed out when we learned the Mishnah, the case that is afilu is an iser koras, for God's sake. So maybe even. Over there, it's an iser d'oraisa. It's not even. That's the obvious case. Of course they can't do yibam v'chalitza because it's an iser d'oraisa because they're maternal brothers. So we said, b'chlala, that doesn't make sense. So the way we were learning right now has nothing to do with what the halacha is. It has to do with how people are going to look at it and whether the Rabbanan did something because of the way that people will make a mistake. But we can look at it the other way. We could say, okay, what we tried to do from the Mishnah was actually bring a riot to Rav Achaba Yaakov. Because look, since the Mishnah says, even in that case. So now, if you're going to tell me that the first case in the Mishnah was you're allowed to exchange wives, and when the Mishnah says they don't do yibam v'chalitza, it means you don't need yibam v'chalitza, and you can go ahead and marry whomever you wish. So then it makes sense that even in this case, where the two brothers are like datan b'kedusha, and people might think that they are real, normal, typical non-gerim, and therefore they'll get mixed up and they'll think that there's no problem. No. Afilu shari. Why? Because everyone understands that there's no real relationship of common fathers between the two brothers. But if you're going to tell me that Reb Sheshes is right and that the Mishnah was talking about an Isser of Yibam v'Chalitza, so what do you mean Afilo? On the contrary, right? Obviously, it's Usser in this case. Here, it's a Diraisa because this is a brother from the same mother, and there's no Chiyav of Yibam because there's no father, and therefore there's an Isser Karis. So what are you telling me? And even if there's an Isser Karis, you don't need Yibam v'Chalitza. That's crazy. Doesn't make any sense at all. Okay, so now take a look at this Braisa, okay? This Braita, Katani Miat, if, well, I'm gonna, actually, I should stop. Yeah, because I don't want to get you stuck. Okay. So now we'll see other consequences here tomorrow. But meanwhile, we have the two approaches in the Mishnah, two approaches to where it's more likely that the Mishnah refers to either a heter or an actual iser in doing Yibum v'chalitza, and that would be Gufa the Machlokes, the two ways we understood it, between the shitas that we had over here. How do we understand the Mishnah? Either like Rav Acher ben Yaakov or like Rav Sheshes. And we have two ways of looking at the Afilu that could work out, both Alibet Rav Sheshes better or better Alibet Rav Acher ben Yaakov. Okay, so basically what we've done today in the new parak is we've examined the roots of the assumptions that we were making all through the previous parak and obviously all through the Masechet about where the Isurim kick in on relatives. And we started examining some of the halachas that we took for granted also, binogei the dinim of Yibum, and what the halacha is of a Gershon is Geyer, and whether the Rabbanan allow us to apply those halachas straight out, or whether in certain cases they're concerned that people will be confused, and because of that, they even assert cases which are actually kikat and shenol adami. We'll be talking more about that because there is a strange psak that the Shach believes that the Rambam holds, although many argue with the Shach, but we'll talk about that tomorrow when we go over the sugya once again and see the further implications of the cases in the Mishnah. So let me just once again put us back into the full context of what's happening. I should say the full context, because the full context would force us to go back to Megillas Rus and see how the whole issue of Yibum is concerned with Geiris in its essence and so on. So we won't have to bother going all the way back to the full context, but it's good to remember that this sugya is not in Yevamos for no reason. And in a sense, the entire concept of Geiris is about Yibum, if you think about it, because of the fact that we say it's really the nefesh of a ger is always there. We're just bringing him back to his place. Right? So he was already Eimed al Har Sinai. So even the essential issue of gerus and yibum is related in terms of the question of nefashas. But getting beyond that, so we've been talking about the dinim of gerut and the question of the interrelationship between the various relatives in the event that people were misguided. How does that affect the relationship between two brothers? And is there a din of Yibum? Is there an Iser of Eshes Ach? What exactly is the situation? So we saw yesterday in our Mishnah, where we introduced the concept of two brothers that were born, and we had different cases of when they were born. If there was a Gioret, that the children were misguided with her, so then they're really not related at all, midiraisa, because of the klal that a ger shenit gayer is kekatan shenolad. But what we spoke about in the Mishnah after that was a case where the two brothers were actually born to a mother who was already Jewish. However, they were conceived, one of them was conceived by the mother before she was Jewish. Now, obviously, if conception and birth were as Jews, then, okay, then they would be related to whatever extent the Ibur, and I must tell you, this is a complex sugya and a lot of discussions about how a mother's giyur has an impact or does not have an impact on the children. Because remember, the halacha is that even if a mother is mitgayeret, where she is pregnant already and delivers a child as a Jew, we still need to be tevel, that child to shame gayrus and so on. So that's a complicated circuit. But if both conception and birth were as Jews, so then they're like anybody else, and there's nothing to discuss. But over here, one of the children was, in fact, fully Jewish in the sense of having been conceived and born, and the other brother had been conceived before she, the mother, became a Giyoret, and then was born as his mother was already a Jewess. Now, the question over there is, what's the level of relationship between them? So it says over here, same thing in the sense of there not being a chalitza, not being a yibum. So we had yesterday a machlokes between Rav Sheshes and between Rav Acha bar Yaakov. When you say that there's no chalitza or yibum, now obviously in the second case, where over there they had a common mother, and this introduced two issues, which we're going to get into more today, which is that the motherhood, A, is undeniable. In other words, we know who a mother is. But paternity is totally deniable, especially if there is no real interest in monogamy and in being careful who it is you're sleeping with. So there's one issue of, well, we don't really have any reason to believe that they have a shared paternity. But we're going to see that it's also a gezeira of the Torah that paternity of a non-Jew is not considered to be paternity in terms of arayas, and that the Torah considers the sperm of a non-Jew to be the equivalent of bringing in some type of other species, zirmat susim zirmatam, so their flow, that is to say their semen itself, is kisusim, and therefore we ignore it. That's a completely different issue that we're going to explore later. So the question over here is there's a tremendous difference, therefore, between maternity and paternity in the dinim of a ger. So we started with the understanding of a ger that was nisgayer is kekatan shenolad. So in the first case of the Mishnah, when we went ahead and spoke about the family that's mitgayer together, stays together, so to speak. She was already, the children were already grown, and they all come into the marriage. So in that case, we were actually talking about people that are not related at all. Not through the mother, not through the father. They have no connection with each other. So in that case, we understand that there certainly will not be an iser at all. They're not related to each other. And therefore, if they would exchange wives or something like that, I mean, there would be no problem. If they married each other's wife and pretended to do yibum, it wouldn't really be yibum. It would just be the fact that these are unrelated people. They are biologically brothers, but they're not halachically brothers. By the way, when we say that there's no paternity, we don't really mean there's no paternity at all. There's certainly dinim of paternity in terms of Yerusha that we saw with the Tav Rimon, Ben Rimon. That was another circuit. We're talking about purely in terms of the issues of incestuous relationships. There the Torah says we don't take into consideration the paternity. So now the question was, in the second case over there, they do have a shared mother because they were both born by the same mother at the time that she was already a Bas Yisrael, so to speak. She's a Giyoret. And therefore, the din is that if one of them would marry the brother's wife, it would be marrying the brother's wife from a mother. So over there, when it says there's no Yibam, there's no Chalitza, it means there can't be any marriage at all. Doesn't mean just that there's no chiyuv of yibum. It means that it's an iser d'oraisa and a chiyuv koras if you would try to do yibum, because there's no paternity, and therefore there's no chiyuv of yibum, and all you're left with is maternity, and maternity is an iser d'oraisa to marry the eshet ha'ach min ha'em, as we've seen throughout the Masechet. So the question that we had yesterday was a machlokas between Rav Sheshes and Rav Acha bar Yaakov about whether in that first case, when they really were not together at all, because they were all of them, the two brothers were kekat and shenaylat. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov said they can switch wives. What's the problem? They're not related. So if both of them divorce their wives, they can go switch wives. Who cares? It's not as if they're brothers at all, not from the father, not from the mother. Reb Sheshe says, no, Midrabbanan, we don't allow them to do that. Why don't we allow them to do that? Because according to Reb Sheshe, we have a problem of how people will look at them, and people will assume that they really are brothers. Not everybody understands this idea of Gersh, Shiniskaya, Kukotan, Shinoilat, and therefore, in order to avoid people making the mistake of thinking that such a thing is possible, even if they were Jewish from before, so we make a gezera. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says, I don't believe any of that. I don't believe that people will make that kind of mistake, and he's not worried about it because he says Gersh, Shiniskaya, Kukotan, Shinoilat. The fact is, I'm not going to go into the details because yesterday we had an alternative version of the Machlokas first, which was the question of whether people refer to them by their father's name or by their mother's name, and therefore could they get confused? Would they realize that they have the same mother? But this is the purest way to understand the Machlokas. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov does not believe that people make the mistake of not understanding that brothers that are gerim do not have the same dinim as brothers that were Jewish from the beginning. Okay, so then we went through a lot of different rayas from the Mishnah. How do we understand the afilu in the Mishnah? We worked it out, both according to Reb Sheshes and according to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. So that we're beyond. Okay, can we, Lamaisa, bring a raya to one or the other approaches? So let us I think this is where we got up to yesterday. I may be mistaken, and we got even further, but I believe we got up to Toshma, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is where I think we got up to, which is five lines up from the bottom. So Toshma, so today the Gemara says, look, I think we can bring a Raya, and the Raya would be like this, where we're talking about a case of twin brothers. So now we have these identical twins. They obviously share both maternity and paternity, and because they basically come from the same fertilized ovum. And if that's the case, then we have a slightly different take on the whole thing, because over there we know that they share also paternity. So here's the case. Shnei achim to'omim gerim, or mishuchrarim. So here they're identical twins, and they were born, and then they both went and become gerim on their own, or if they were avarim, they're meshuchrarim. There is no din of yibum. Obviously, lo chotzim v'lo miyabim. They are not, even though they have the same father biologically, there's clearly no halach of yibum or chalitza because of the fact that they are considered to be a katan shenoilat. Furthermore, there would be no iser in chayavin. Now, it doesn't say be no iser. It says in chayavim mishum eshet ach, that even if they married after they became gerim, so that there is a marriage. Remember, there's two issues over here. If they were married from before, then when they become gerim, they're no longer married. They would have to once again marry the same woman because the status of marriage that they had as goyim is not in any way important to their current status as new people and as Yisrael. So they would have to have a whole new marriage, which, of course, many gerim who actually are mizgayer with their wives, they make a new wedding. I'm sure you've even been at such weddings. Fine. So that's a question of their not being married. But here we're talking about after they became gerim, they went ahead and got married. And therefore, if you say there's no iser of eshes ach, or you're saying there's no chiyav of eshes ach, you're saying that they are not brothers. You're not saying that they're not married. Okay, that's a completely different issue. So ein chayavim mishum eshet ach. If horatan shelo begdusha, veleidatam begdusha, let's say their mother, the mother of these twins, she became a giyoret while she was already pregnant with them. Over there, they do have a shared mother. And since they have a shared mother, there will be a chiyav of sleeping with a brother's wife, because there they are achim, but they're only achim in ha'em, and there's still no din of chalitz or yibum, because they're not paternal brothers, as we'll see. And suppose both haratan v'leidatan was b'kedusha, so then obviously they are just like everybody else. Harem Yisraelim l'chol divrei. Now, the only point that I want to make over here is that it does say in this braitha, "En chayavim mishomesh etach." Now that means there's no chiyav. Okay, that means that midiraisa, they are not brothers at all. But it's mashma that it's usur and a isura ika. But that's what Rav Shesha said. It's against what Rav Acha bar Yaakov said. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says they can swap wives. Says, well, no, it could be there's not even an Isser Dirabona. Hu adin dafilu Yisura nami leka. And the way that Rav Acha bar Yaakov would explain it is that we're simply keeping the Mishnah parallel. Because in the Seifa, it has to say that they are chayef, because there they really are achim min ha'im, because they share the same mother. And therefore, there would be chayef kores. So they're your chayev. So because of that, in the Seifa, it's going to say that they're chayovim mishum eshetach. So in the Reisha, it says, ein chayovim mishum eshetach. But the truth is, says Rav Yaakov, I hold that they could even go ahead, l'chatchila, and take their wife's, their brother's wife. Okay. So now, what it's saying over here is that if the mother was mitgayeret after horatan shelo b'kedusha, they are related, midiraisa, to each other, even though she had already been pregnant, right? So the fact that they're born from the same mother means that they're considered to be brothers from the mother. They're just not brothers from the father. So if they're not paternal brothers, then there's no chiv of this whole yibum and chalitza, obviously. Now, the question is, why? Why is there a difference between the father and the mother in this case, where we know that there's both the same father and the same mother because of the reality of identical twins? There's nothing to argue about. So if that's the case, what is the issue? Why is there a difference between the mother and the father? So I understand. If you're going to say they're kikot and shenei ladami, then they shouldn't have the same mother either. So obviously we're not saying kikot and shenei ladami in the event that they were actually born to a Jewish mother who is a Jewess at the time that she gives birth to them. Therefore, comes along Rava to explain, where does this come from?